Yeah, again, finally you get some responsibility. The accountability conversation, and people bring up the owner, you can't fire the owner. I think the owner takes the accountability. Their name becomes mud over time when it comes to any sport. They're not winning, and they're not winning. I mean, if they're not winning enough, people aren't going to like them. And they're not winning enough to the fans. People aren't very big fans of them right now.
Well, isn't there going to be some accountability? Because Sean's getting his money either way. There's going to be a cap relief now.
Yeah.
But Haslam's are going to pay out that money. Isn't that some sort of accountability that even though the contract now is not going to affect football operations as much.
Well, it's
they're going to pay 40-something million extra that they...
Yeah, and this is why I go back...
The team is not suffering.
Exactly, and this is why I go back, right back to the thing I had said where people thought I was crazy. It's like, guys, if Baker Mayfield ends up winning a Super Bowl this year, I've learned a very valuable lesson, and I hope they have as well. I will take learning a lesson of Baker Mayfield winning a Super Bowl this year than I ever will. I learn no lessons of the Steelers winning a Super Bowl. I just deal in hell. I don't want them to win a Super Bowl or the Ravens to win a Super Bowl. If it came down to those three winning a Super Bowl, yeah, fine. Tampa Bay, win it. Because then, you know what? I don't think the ownership group is going anywhere. I think that family is going to own the team for a very long period of time. They will go back to that and remember those, just like the Rooneys do, and they remember before Chuck Knoll. And they always go back to that before they make any decision of, is this a decision that's going to land us back pre-Chuck Knoll? They do that. The Rooneys do that. Fine. Let him go out. I know that Barry had to answer about Baker Mayfield yesterday. I'm not trying to avoid it at all costs. I just know what that turns into on the internet and on the air and with everybody out there. It doesn't make our situation any better. But I'll take another lesson. That's fine.
I just don't understand.
That would be even more accountability.
When it comes to that word, just say you want guys fired. What would voluntarily limiting your own decision makers, like, I want Stefanski limited so he can't do his job at the way that he would want to do it? That doesn't make sense. You just want him fired.
Well, there,
what would accountability be? Do you want him to take a pay cut? Would you like him to have less of a say over things? And you don't want him there.
One demanding more accountability. Well, this is as accountable as it's going to be without them getting let go.
The afternoon show, whether it's callers, whether it's media, just tell me what you mean when you say accountability short of firing somebody. That's different. Just say you want them fired then. But if you want them to keep their jobs, maintain their jobs, but you want them to have some restriction that's enforced by the team, like, that doesn't make sense. Now you're just watering down what you have if you think they're even good to begin with.
I know you're using Nick as an example. I'll use Nick as the example because we like him, and even though we all dump on each other, we still like Nick and Jonathan, right? I'll use him as the example. Nick's mad. And they know, like, people want their pound of flesh. They know they're not going to get let go. They know they're going to have to do this. And now, like, if you had a new general manager and a new head coach coming in, I wouldn't be talking about, you're going to take a quarterback at number two overall. And I think the people see this where they don't have a lot of faith in these quarterbacks coming out. And I'm telling them news they don't want to listen to. That, you're going to take one. And you better cozy up. I'd be shocked if they didn't. Shocked. Which, speaking of shocking, there's a question that we'll talk about at 7:20 that you didn't hear yesterday asked to Andrew Berry. But the closest thing to accountability, I think that what a lot of people wanted to hear is, hey, guys, I'm sorry, I've messed this whole thing up. Well, you're not going to get that in a press conference because they still have jobs to do, and you would have even less confidence somehow than you have in them right now. Confidence is an all-time low. All-time. I can't go anywhere and talk about Andrew Berry without running into a brick wall of a bad decision he's made. Even yesterday, I said, guys, let this be another lesson. Never, ever, ever let your quarterback try to make a tackle. Yeah, well, don't draft wide receivers who are afraid of footballs. Oh, yeah, that's right, because the guy they drafted in the third round had the alligator arms on the ball, which led Baker Mayfield to go out and try to make the tackle, which ate the cat that killed the rat that lives in the house that Andrew Berry built, because that's where they're at right now. And you're not going to fire him. And I think what people are trying to avoid is the inevitable. And it feels like the inevitable because I don't want to go to the end of September next year and he's playing the music and we're talking about the end of Goodfellas and there goes Kevin and there goes Andrew. And then next year feels like a wasted year. And we got some rookie quarterback with an interim head coach while we're going on a GM search. You want to talk about wasting our years, wasting our time?
Well, that seems like
it would be.
Hugh Jackson scenario.
My God. Are you kidding? Yes. Look at you. Roll your eyes. You know it's true.
It's just a name I never want to hear associated with the Browns.
But that's...
And it makes you... Yeah, it makes me roll my eyes because that's where they're at right now.
That's why it's like, you know what? Let Baker win the Super Bowl. That'd be a hell of a lesson to learn. Gio in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. Morning. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, I want to ask a question, and you talk about accountability. That's all we hear from this guy, Stefanski and Andrew Berry. I'm over it. And there's a guy up north in a city that used to be another joke of a football team that my buddy and I put a bet on for the Super Toilet Bowl, the Browns versus the Lions. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Dan Campbell would allow any of this nonsense to happen as a coach? I don't think so. And it starts with Stefanski.
Which nonsense? Be specific here.
All of it. The quarterback nonsense. The dancing nonsense. All of it. All of us as fans watch it and we laugh. It's a joke. It's 2nd and 10, and they make a stop for 2 yards, and these guys are dancing like they won the Super Bowl. It starts at the top, and accountability is your head coach. Kevin Stefanski is and always – I'll put Andrew Berry in this category. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, they are and always will be the ultimate yes man to Jimmy Haslam. You look at what Campbell did. He went in there and said, you have to listen, and you have to let me do what I'm told. That's the reason why Vrabel will never be the coach here. We can't have a coach like that in this town. Haslam will never stand for a guy that just says, get out of my way and let me do it. Kevin Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Gentlemen, who were the quarterbacks both years that he won that award? One, I believe, was a guy named Baker Mayfield that we kicked to the curb. Two was a guy named Joe Flacco. What quarterback is more like them? Deshaun Watson, is he more like them, or is Joe Flacco more like Kirk Cousins? Like, what are we going to do? We're going to draft another quarterback like Deshaun Watson and sit here and we're like, Ken, you have kids. Anthony, you have kids. This is the ultimate. You did it. No, you did it. You did it. You did it. Stop it. It has to stop. Accountability is accountability. This is a joke, and we're turning into a joke. Jaden Daniels in Washington, how did that work out? Right, Ken? Everybody's throwing, rookie quarterback. What does it prove? Bo Nix in Denver. Oh, rookie quarterback. Oh, we're living in our past. Gentlemen, this is the new NFL. You can win with a young quarterback. And I believe those rookie contracts are the escape from the exact situation that we are in. It is time to get with the modern NFL. Quit living in this, we got to have this bullcrap. We need to have a real leader. A real leader as a head coach. Kevin Stefanski is a passive head coach. This is a man's game. Mike Vrabel is the perfect example of a guy that will never get hired here. Dan Campbell, all of us, guys on this radio station, made fun of Dan Campbell's biting kneecaps.
I did not. It was funny.
Certain people that are Kansas City fans that were chuckling. I'm just saying.
Dan Campbell's irrelevant.
But I'm just saying, right? Accountability. These guys need to go. Get rid of them.
Well, Gio, let me say this. In there's no defense. What you're saying is right. Like, you go to Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels does, and this guy was fired, but he has a strong head coach with a good staff in Dan Quinn. Sean Payton is a strong head coach with a good staff for Bo Nix. These are true things.
Hold on.
You did have a guy like that in John Dorsey. He just made a horrific, horrific, horrific mistake in hiring Freddie Kitchens because he wanted to make sure all the power was there. You did have that guy. They stepped aside for John. I can tell you with a full heart, Gio, that they stepped aside for John, and then he hired the wrong guy.
But didn't he hire the right guy? But he was too much of an alpha? Because when they let – who was the coach before Freddie Kitchens that was the interim coach?
Greg Williams.
Right. Is Greg Williams more like Dan Campbell, Sean Payton –
But
Dan Quinn.
That doesn't matter. John made the decision, though, Gio. John made the decision. So you're telling me, though, that you wanted Jimmy. Wait, hold on. Like, I agree with most of what you're saying, but did you want Jimmy to step in and say, we got to hire Greg Williams and step in for John when you just said you want him to step away and let somebody be in charge?
I think it's the opposite. I think it's Jimmy Haslam is the one that is stepping in and saying, no, we're not hiring that guy. I think Jimmy Haslam, it has to be the A dog in the room, right? That's proof right here. Every decision that this club has made since he's been owner has been, I am the dog. I'm the dog. Every decision, every head coach, and any authoritative figure, any alpha male, that would you agree that Kevin Stefanski is slightly more passive, quiet?
Yes.
Subtle.
Yes.
Greg Williams is not that. Greg Williams is going to go to the owner and go, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. He's an NFL guy. We don't have that. We have two Ivy League guys that are like, but, I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Well, Gio, I can't. Like, the owner's the owner, and he's going to take it on the chin until he takes it on the chin, right? Well, no. I mean, they have to answer for 3-14. They're the owners, right? But what I'm pointing out, and thank you for the call. It was a good call. What I have to point out is, again, he let John make the decision. John could have hired Greg Dorsey. John hired Freddie. That's where that all started, and that's where that ended. Though,
I will say, like, the owners...
They did the reverse Eagles with Howie Roseman and Chip Kelly.
The owners are always going to still sign off on the big decisions. It is up to members of the front office, the hierarchy, to present a case. Like, this is why we think this makes sense. This is why we think we should go another direction. You just saw Robert Kraft. Who do you think did the firing of Mayo after 1 year? Where, you know, they're getting blowback.
Might have been Jonathan.
You're firing an African-American coach after 1 year, yet you let Belichick for 3 years, you know, linger post-Brady. Well, in the end, the owner is going to sign off on what they want to do.
True.
The owner is going to dictate that. Of course, they think they're going to upgrade with Vrabel.
I can't say the owner's blameless in any of that stuff. That's not what I'm saying to Gio. But you wanted him to step away. He stepped away for John. John made his decision. It became a complete train wreck that year. They were not prepared for football games. You know that. Hell, they weren't even prepared for the bowl game. And I like Freddie, but they weren't prepared for the bowl game he was the interim head coach for. And they made their decision and immediately went back to the old ways. Shame, but true. You wanted him to step in and make that choice. What he said about Kevin, Kevin needs a veteran guy who has a presence in the locker room that holds it down. Dan Campbell is a guy that went out there and demanded respect, and he got it from a young football team. Sean Payton has gravitas, got it from his football team. Dan Campbell, strong-willed coach, got it from his Dan Quinn, strong-willed coach, got it from his football team. They were able to change cultures. You know, that is something Kevin is not a motivational speaker by any means. He is a manager of people. And if those people are not the right people, they will do as they please. And it's usually going in the wrong direction. This is set to be one of the most important Browns off seasons in years. God. Guys, just listen to the fan. We got the combine coming. They're always important off seasons because we're usually bad. How are they not important off seasons? This is the most important off season. It's something I said in 2013.
I remember we said that every year. That was a particular annoyance at the start of the radio station because I recall doing that every time going, this is the most important ever. And I'm like, that's basically what every host in America says for their teams every year.
I feel like Ernie Anderson reading the liners on ABC back in the day. They got the outtakes of them. I go, what is this? What is this? What am I reading? The combine's coming up. Free agency's coming up. We're going to be talking old beat-ass quarterbacks. It's all coming up. And the draft. And the basketball postseason. It's all coming up. Don't miss a minute of The Fan during your workday, folks. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone and with the free Odyssey app. You're going to love it. Yesterday, so we're getting to those Cavs coming up. Also, the future of Nick Chubb, where I can't believe the fan base is as split as it was. I said, hey, let's work something out with Nick, bring him back as a short yardage back. There were some people, 50% of the people it seemed going, Ken, this isn't a charity. Whoa. The other 50%, Ken, how dare you? He could still get back to the form that he had before the injury. Okay, I thought I was just trying to be fair to Nick and fair to the fans and fair for everybody. But here we are. There was a question, though, that you were surprised that Andrew was not asked yesterday. Did you feel he was more candid, by the way? A lot of people did.
Not really.
I didn't either.
I mean, I think it's because the Watson news dropped. I think that's the only reason people found him to be candid. And he did say, he started out by saying embarrassed. I've never really heard him say that before.
That's a breath of fresh air.
But that was quick, and then they were right back to not talking about contracts, not talking. Like, here's what I don't understand. They must really feel like they have a proprietary way to deal with contracts. The fact that they won't explain in the same way that, say, the cap bros, the cap gurus online talk about the restructuring of contracts, they must really think that they have a way to do contracts that nobody else in the league knows about.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he wouldn't talk about the restructuring of Watson's contract, which I feel like is silly because it's public record in the NFL for people that are into that stuff. They can get access to that stuff. At least I thought.
Well, they've got access to the stuff. Yeah. He's never talked about insurance policies or anything publicly. The people who know the contract and have studied the contract have written about
it's
the
all
insurance
reported,
policy.
Yeah. It's all reported stuff that some people have had their hands on some of those details, but there's still not a lot of specifics in that way. But I guess I understand, like, you're not going to talk about contract negotiations, but there's no negotiation here with Watson. Even the restructures, I was always led to believe that Watson had no say over those restructures.
So that's not the question you thought? Because real quick on that, it did seem like, it's like, man, you've left yourself no outs. Boy, it seems like there's plenty of outs here. It seems like there's plenty.
According to some people.
I mean, yesterday, honestly, I did see it, and this is maybe to a bad degree to say this, but I'll say this. When they told me he suffered a setback, when they told us they suffered a setback, he suffered a setback, Watson, and then I see the report about the insurance, because I knew they had insurance on him. I didn't know how much, and that would provide cap relief. I'm going, oh, my God, we're out. We're going to be out. This is going to be great. Not great, but my God, I don't have to.
Well, it's that easy. That's what you were thinking.
Yeah, because
my mind went to sounds fishy.
Not all of this is his fault. not all of this is his fault. But let's, guys, don't lie to yourselves. Even the ones of you that are Watson fans, this feels like a rain cloud that will not move out from outside the city. Like it stayed over downtown for the last 3 years. And if you're able to get out of that contract, fine. We can finally start to move forward with something instead of spinning our wheels in this situation where we had to have Joe Flacco bail us out last year. And we were hoping the same thing with Jameis Winston this year. It was ugly. It was ugly. I mean, last year, it felt like you were sitting on top of the roof drinking the beers in Shawshank Redemption. And then we're right back to it. I feel a way that this is a way out. So, yeah, there's a – even though, I don't know what the future of Stefanski and Barry are. They could go out there and they could be a 6-win football team and those guys can get fired. But I don't have to talk about 230 guaranteed anymore, at least not that much anymore. I can start to move forward. I can have hope for a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders. You know what? Or even a Jalen Milroe, if you want to bring him in. I can have hope for a Drew Aller if he does a Bertie Kosar or something. I can have hope for those guys. I can do that. The kid out of Alabama that I'm not too terribly interested in, fine. I'll have hope for him because I don't have hope for the quote-unquote franchise quarterback that they have right now.
But that was not the question. Yeah. The question I had that I'm curious if maybe people feel like he doesn't have that power, so they thought it'd be a waste of a question. But talking to Andrew Berry, get the microphone right in front of you and go, Andrew, do you have the power to fire Kevin Stefanski? Do we think Andrew Berry has that power? Like, we don't think John Lynch has that power in San Francisco to fire Kyle Shanahan.
How do you think he would answer it?
I don't know.
No, John Lynch can't fire Kyle Shanahan. I think Kyle Shanahan could probably
fire John Lynch. Yeah, I absolutely believe that. So, that'd be a fair question to ask, right? I'd like to know if the GM, the power structure is such that the GM has the power to relieve a head coach of his duties. Because remember yesterday, when they were talking about the staff members, said, that's all on Kevin. Okay, so only Kevin can hire and fire the staff. I've heard otherwise, by the way. I have heard otherwise. But
you've heard otherwise that he's...
In the dismissing of Van Pelt, right. Yes. Was told that was not a Stefanski decision.
Even though he said that yesterday,
bringing
that was
in Ken Dorsey was his decision.
Yeah.
So I would like to know, if we get a chance at Andrew Berry, I'll ask him flat out, is it under your purview to be able to fire the head coach?
That's a hell of a question to ask because we're trying to find some accountability here without firing people because that's not going to happen. But again, he was asked a question about Ken Dorsey yesterday, and this was a fly in the ointment. Great question by Jason Lloyd, even though it wasn't the question you thought you were going to hear yesterday. Here's that question.
Going back to the offense and the changes that were made last year, is my understanding you reached out to Buffalo and got a pretty honest evaluation of Ken's strengths and weaknesses. Who was behind the decision to bring Ken here, and then why were you still comfortable bringing him on when you got a pretty blunt assessment from Buffalo of what didn't work there?
Number one, when it comes to the coaching staff, that's Kevin's decision. It's Kevin's responsibility. Number two, like with anyone that we bring into the organization, we do a lot of diligence, as you reference. The offensive struggles, they were not just about Ken. Like, I think it would be unfair of us to suggest that because we didn't perform appropriately on offense that it would be pinned on him, because it's just not the case. Ken was an excellent professional. He's a good coach. He's really strong in a number of areas, particularly RPO game, the tempo world, the pass game, things like that. I think the circumstances this year across a variety of levels were not ideal for the offensive staff, just being quite blunt.
So I agree with you. I think he realized in the moment, he sounded like he was throwing Kevin right under the bus about a offensive coordinator that no one seemed to be a fan of from day one. And I ask, this is only a question. All right, did he see what Watson was or wasn't during the 2023 season and said, this guy is not going to work out, but they're not going to get rid of this guy. They can't get rid of this guy. There's no way to do it. They're going to see if it could work out, so I have to bring in somebody different. Which would fly in the face of what you said about Alex Van Pelt, although he could go and say, hey, I hate to do this, but I have to do this. I don't want to fire him, but I have to fire him. I don't know. And the other thought would be, well, wait a minute. You were one of the guys that flew down. So the story's told. You were one of the guys who flew down there and you showed him the offense and Deshaun had seen the light. Okay, well, if that's the case, then yeah, you are 100, almost 100% to blame for this entire fiasco, Kevin.
Or is that his job? Was he told, you have to go
sell him on this?
You have to go sell him on the offense you're going to run with the new quarterback you're going to be working in lockstep
with. So how does the two-time coach of the year... Okay. How does the two-time coach of the year... have no power within the organization, even though he was hired before Andrew Berry, Anthony?
Yeah, I don't. That's why I want to ask the question to Andrew Berry. Do you understand why that's the question I think needed to be asked yesterday?
But you know what? I think the answer probably is. Oh, the owner is the owner, so the owner can hire and fire whoever they like.
Well, they always have to sign off on all these.
But that's not the answer. When they hired Freddie, John wanted Freddie. Who did Paul even ask to want? Who did Paul want? He wanted Kevin. They thought they could right the wrong. They brought in Kevin. Because that, to me, was DeBodesta taking power back.
Paul was involved he was doing the search for the GM.
So the guy...
We know that. That's been reported.
So
that's on record.
Is it the chief strategy officer's power to hire and fire the general manager and the head coach, and Andrew doesn't have... They're put together. You guys work this out together, and if you can't, we'll find other people. Is it on the chief strategy officer, then, to make those decisions?
You see why I wanted...
You said it yourself. He's going nowhere.
Do you see why I wanted the question asked yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hell of a question to ask.
Because you wouldn't ask that question to Andrew Berry after... after the season where he was the coach of the year and they made the playoffs.
No.
Remember, the questions that were asked were very different. They were extensions. Mm-hmm. What's the deal with the extensions? Remember the Haslam, Jimmy Haslam stepped in.
Yeah.
I think D Haslam. I think they stepped in on those questions.
Well, I think you got your answer right there. He can't fire him. He can't fire him. Andrew can't do it. By the way, it's not a San Francisco situation. Kevin can't fire Andrew. I think that probably, if you're leaving me into options, the owner's the owner. The owner's always where the buck stops. Okay. But maybe it's Paul DeBodesta, which I was feeling better about the direction of the franchise after the whole setback conversation, but now I'm not feeling as good because I can't. Again, he seems to pop in when things are going well. A few times it has gone well, and you can't find him. Things aren't going very well. 3-14,
and
he's 2,300 miles away.
Yeah, and I think yesterday it's a totally legitimate question given – coaches get fired. If we sent somebody on a fact-finding mission, I think... I was thinking of you, Mitch. How many coaches have survived that have not been a one-and-done, right? That have not been, hey, we hired you, you only won three games, we're firing you.
Okay.
How many coaches that have been in their position for multiple years that have only won three games have kept their job? I think it's few and far between.
Very few.
You know, like... Dan Campbell, I think that first year, won five games. Okay, but that was year one.
And they start off 1-6 the next year.
Yes.
You were talking about his job.
Yeah, absolutely. He was on the hot seat.
Yeah.
So how many coaches survived three wins, period? Forget about the contingencies I put on it.
Very few.
Very few.
Very few.
So it is legitimate thought, right? I mean, we did say, hey, if this gets really bad, remember was Albert Breer, who came on the afternoon show and used the term catastrophic. Well, it would have to be catastrophic for people to lose their jobs. I mean, you lost out at the end after the Pittsburgh game, November 21st.
Well,
you lost out.
It's not
what's
about,
more catastrophic than losing out, even though you and I both know there was some tanking involved.
Well, the accountability, the accountability conversation almost turns into a mean spirit. It's where we want our pound of flesh. I'm serious. I want to give them the opportunity. What do you do to give fans confidence? the populace of Browns fans, the people who have been on Facebook saying that they're done with their season tickets, and the people who said that they're not even going to, the guy who called in yesterday saying he's not going to subject his own son, that his son will make his own decision, that before he would force his son to be a Browns fan, not anymore. Okay, what do we say to those guys? What gives them, what inspires confidence in you? Same thing with Kevin. What inspires confidence? Turn it the other way. Not about firing people. Why is this the right course? Why is this directionally correct? You know, those are questions, and I think that's what bothers fans the most. There's more questions than answers here. And you come away with a season of 3-14 where you usually, okay, now it's time to find some answers. It's time to make some decisions and bring some people in. And I'm hearing about, well, they might bring in what's the thing that Mary Kay said last week about a consultation?
A consultant?
A consultant with somebody about the quarterback here? What exactly do you do here then? You have scouts. You've had the same scouting staff. You've added to the scouting staff over the last couple of years. You're the general manager. You've been the general manager for 5 years. We're going to consult again. Last time you had consultants, you turned away Teddy Bridgewater, and it didn't work out great with Teddy Bridgewater, but it sure as hell would have worked out a hell of a lot better than Johnny Manziel. So you're going to bring in more consultants? What exactly do you do here? I don't know. And so I think that leads to the general frustration. So, yeah, damn it, I was feeling going into the last break, like, okay, now you have a quote-unquote setback. Maybe this is a way to step forward now, where we separate, go ahead and live your life. We'll live our lives as Browns fans and as an organization, and we'll all move on. I can't say we're all going to move on as friends. I'd be surprised if you ever stepped foot in the city again. But we'll all move on. And now you're kind of making it like, well, we are still in a heap of trouble here, and we got to get it figured out about what we're going to do. And that's, again, where you keep bringing up all these scenarios, and I keep going, yeah, that's another scenario why I believe that they will take a quarterback at number two coming up in April. Because a quarterback to a franchise fixes all this stuff. The worst franchises that you can think of, what were the Chiefs before Alex Smith and Andy Reid got there, and then what were they right at? Because Alex Smith was a better quarterback than what people want to remember. Alex Smith got there, gave them legitimacy. Mahomes took it to the next level. What were the Patriots before Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe? Legitimate quarterback, then an all-time great. I mean, Peyton Manning, before the Colts, before Peyton Manning, holy Toledo. They bring that legitimacy to you, and that's why I think they'll chase it again this April.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, Kenny, we still saw there this morning some delays for some school districts. Yesterday we had total cancellations. I told you, in Columbus, Ohio State was completely postponed yesterday. There's no school at Ohio State yesterday. So weather will intervene from time to time, yeah. And then what do people say anytime
school's
closed?
They complain about school being closed, and we always talk about back in our day, we went to school, this is ridiculous, there's a dusting of snow, and you guys called off of school.
Mm-hmm.
And Owen had this observation, and he was right, and I would like to say it for him that he was right, where, guys, the kids aren't calling off school. They're not making the decision to call off school. It's our generation that walked uphill both ways in a foot of snow that are calling them off of school now, because it's our generation. Now, this is my thought to it, because it's our generation threatening to sue the school boards for sending our kids to school in an inch of snow. Plus, it's easier than ever to call off of school now because you have all the iPads and everything like that. You can do a lot of stuff from home. Yes, Owen?
Well, it's not just, you know, the snow is one thing, and the snow inhibits the traffic. That's really what... You know, between the safety of buses that have to transport children and the kids that have to sit outside and wait for those things, right? But the summertime, we always see at the beginning of the school year, it's too hot. This building doesn't have AC. We're shutting down the school because it's too hot.
Get ready to pass a levy.
It's not like the kids are all getting together and going, hey guys, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
We're not going in today.
What's it? I take it a step further.
We're forming a union.
Soft-ass parents.
Yeah. Yes, it's the same thing I said about participation trophies. Six-year-olds are not going to the trophy store and getting their own participation trophy. Our generation is getting them the participation trophies. And by the way, when I was a kid, my parents' generation gave out participation trophies. This is a multi-generational thing. So if you want to stop it, stop the parents, which I really don't believe a trinket or something. I believe there should be a big-ass trophy for the champion.
Can I tell you?
But a little trinket or a medal like that for playing baseball,
it's
such a big deal.
What do they generally awards for? Like, if you're going in places, right? Like,
yeah.
What do you think is the most places that you should award for?
Runner-up. Runner-up, okay. Like, gets a patch, like in hot stove.
Well, in the Olympics, you get gold, silver, bronze,
okay,
right?
First, fair.
Second, third.
Okay.
I have a child that if he gets a fourth at a tournament, he don't go over to the table and get his medal.
He just stays out there.
Yeah.
I kind of like
proud
that.
Of him.
I like that. That's hard
proud of him. Now, I've kind
good
of
on your son,
put
man.
That in. I've kind of instilled that into him. That's like a thing that we...
We don't settle for four.
That's awesome.
Well, and it's...
That's awesome.
It's also sometimes you got to wait around 45 minutes to go get your fourth.
And that's just humiliating. You got to see the kids that beat your kid.
We could go get ice cream in that time.
Yeah, man. Bob Evans, I'm only going to want to eat it for so long. Like, I would skip the 45 minutes to go eat Bob Evans.
For those that do say
hell
that
yeah.
we're jumping the gun on the cancellations, I did see the story. I mean, 13 plow trucks were in accidents. If the plow trucks are getting in accidents, do you want your school buses out there with your kids going to school?
Well, it's those soft-ass kids driving those plow trucks.
So I had a situation. I want to bring this up to you. I had a situation now. This goes right along with it. I was headed to Berea, right? Now, I went to get on the highway, and there was a plow truck in front of me. It is 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday. There is nobody around. He is still in the far right lane on the on-ramp. And I fanned out, went to the far, because there's construction a couple miles up. We're all going to get together anyway. But I wanted to get away from his plow and away from... He pulls on the cord... Honking at me, I don't give the finger in traffic anymore. That ain't going to happen. I've seen too many road rage stories, and that ain't going to happen with anybody driving from ODOT. I want to be respectful. Am I not allowed? When's the bright time I'm allowed to pass him? He's a slower moving bull, but there was no snow out. He was driving, but I'm going, there's nobody coming. It's 7:30 in the morning of a Sunday. I've checked and checked and checked. There's nobody back there. I fanned out to give him a wide berth because I didn't want to get around the truck. He's hammering on the horn. Am I the a-hole here?
I do far worse, especially when I know nobody's
the
in danger.
I shook the fist out the window.
Fist of fury. It's a patented move. I take a lot more liberties, especially during certain hours. Might run a red light here and there in certain hours
that.
In the morning.
Don't.
I see the officers do it. I see all sorts of vehicles do it. I mean, take appraisal of who's out on the roads.
I would never admit to doing it myself.
Well, is there somebody from... Is there
right
like
on red, left on red.
Is there
who's
someone driving
say?
A plow truck right now or something like that?
There
at least,
is.
I don't know. Call in Mitch, 216-474-0092. I mean, what is... I don't want to upset the driver out there. What is protocol? Because it was a Sunday morning. It was early. I felt I was doing the right thing, giving him a very wide amount of space. And I go, what was that? Just because I'm in a truck and I passed? Is that why? You just didn't feel like it was the right time for me to pass you? I was trying to be safe. I'm not one of these goofballs go weaving all over the road or anything like that. Like, I wanted... and am I wrong here? I didn't think I was.
Well, was it a solid white line or was it
no.
a checkered line?
It was checkered.
All right.
It was the normal one. And again,
line,
2 miles, they've been working on the overpass for about a year now.
Yeah.
2 miles up the road, you're going to get into, instead of three lanes, it's turning
about,
into two. Yeah, I really don't want to say it out loud. It's going to turn into two. You can see that there's going to be an arrow. I don't want to be around the plow. The truck is fine. I don't want to be around the plow.
Coming back from the far west, everybody's behind the plow. The plow's cutting through for everybody, dropping salt and everything, and I just didn't want to be part of that gaggle.
Yeah.
So I went past him. I went in the snowier lane to get past him.
I proceed with caution.
Personal choice. I think you're okay for your personal choice.
So was he just in a bad mood that Sunday morning?
You probably caught a guy who didn't want to be there on Sunday morning.
God, that's the life. If I ever get to retire, Streetsboro, Ohio, I'm driving plows. I'm not going to do anything in the summer, but I'll drive a plow truck for you. Hell yeah.
A plow truck in the summer, that's the best.
Well, I don't
have to work.
You think I want to go out there and sweat my ass off in the summer? No. But if you want 10 below and it's snowing like crazy outside, middle of the night, hell yeah.
As long as they don't hire you to take down your lights.
Thermos of coffee. You're
not getting that done.
Hopefully I don't put the plow into any of the hydrants like I put the bumper. Anyway, John Greco is going to join us next. We got to get to this Nick Chubb thing a little bit later on here. Because I was a little bit, Tone, I was a little bit surprised about, in earnest, I was a little bit surprised at the reaction because he had spoke about Nick Chubb. He did not seem, did you pick up the vibe that Andrew Berry was very positive about Nick Chubb's future with the Browns?
You know what? I didn't know what to take away of that.
Some people said he sounded a hell of a lot different than he did last
year. Yeah.
Here's Andrew Berry about Nick Chubb's future.
We love Nick. He's going to be a Ring of Honor player for us, and we know that. In terms of the short term, you know, that's something that, quite honestly, we just have to work through over the next several weeks.
It just didn't seem to be. And so I thought I was making a compromise because I'm going, I still like Nick, like anybody else would. I still think there's some tread left on the tire. No, he's not 24 anymore. But can he be a – guys, they used him in the red zone last year. He can't be a short yardage back for us. And half the people are going, Kenny, you're holding on to a memory. And then the other half, it was some terrible mean-spirited thing to even suggest that he would be a short yardage back. I go, why can't he be our Kareem Hunt? I made the mistake of thinking he didn't have any more tread left on the tire. Damn it, you guys who called in about Kareem Hunt were right. I was wrong, 100%.
I took away from that I just assumed he would sign like a veteran contract.
Yeah.
Maybe they put some really, really player-friendly incentives that if he could reach them, we'd all be celebrating because it'd be like, awesome, we're getting Nick Chubb back. Because based on his season, and I mean, you could say the offensive line, this and that. I mean, Jerome Ford still averaged 5.4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I know it was feast or famine, but he still showed explosive.
Well, I imagine the offensive line play is going to be better next year.
Well, that is
something I should be able
to
envision.
But Nick Chubb ran behind the same offensive line 3.3. I mean, not even remotely.
But he was
Nick
coming
Chubb.
Back off an injury. Now, I know the
which
foot
he's
injury.
He's going to have to do again.
The foot injury isn't as severe as the other injury. So I imagine he will be strong again. Guys, if I bring him in on second and one and he rushes for a first down and then takes off for another 30 yards, that's just an added bonus. I'm fine with that. But I want to
felt
be,
like he had a lot of negative rushes this year.
Well, he had more than what he's had before. But again, he's coming back off an injury. I thought he was starting to get better as the weeks went on, and then the foot injury happened, and then the season was out of reach anyway. But I just thought I was making a nice compromise to keep a guy who is a heart and soul type of player that is, as Andrew said, a Ring of Honor guy that fans love. And you're not. It's not charity here. If he wasn't any good at football anymore, I'd encourage him to retire. I think that he can provide a hell of a service for this football team. He's a bigger body back that does have some speed. And if he gains that speed back, thank God. And that'd be great. But I still think he has a valuable role in this football team.